This is Rediscover Life with Pastor John from All Nations Church with your daily message to help you reconnect to your Creator and rediscover life as it can be with Jesus. And I'm so excited you're able to join me today as we continue our series on godly discipline. And 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 in the Amplified, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run their very best to win, but only one receives the prize? Run your race in such a way that you may seize the prize and make it yours. Now, every athlete who goes into training, competes in the games, is disciplined and exercises self-control in all things. They do to win a crown that withers, but we do to receive an imperishable crown that cannot wither. Therefore, I do not run without a definite goal. I do not flail around like one beating the air, just shadow boxing. But like a boxer, I strictly discipline my body and make it my slave so that after I've preached the gospel to others, I myself will not somehow be disqualified as unfit for service." And so none of us want to be disqualified as unfit for service. And I'm just mindful of the LA fires and, you know, the shocking revelation that there were many fire trucks that were not roadworthy and weren't able to use them because they hadn't hired mechanics to fix them. And, you know, those trucks had the potential to be useful, but they were unfit for service because they hadn't undergone the work that they needed. You could say the discipline that was needed in terms of rectifying the issues. And here in this passage, you know, God is talking about the importance of discipline that, you know, I suppose, using the illustration of athletes and boxers, about how they are so disciplined. They're disciplined in their diet. I remember my brother-in-law telling me about a very famous athlete. She was a runner and she ran on the world stage, very famous, and she used to say, "Oh, I like chocolate." And he said, well, a friend of his who was very close, I think it was her trainer or whatever, but mentioned to him that, that's maybe going a little bit far. She used to have a dairy milk once a week. And, you know, as you know, there's 8 squares on the dairy milk. So every day she would have a square. And then I think on a Sunday she'd have 2. That's wild. But that's discipline, and that's a disciplined person. They're living a disciplined life because they're focused on a prize. And when you think of the prize that we're aiming for, the heavenly prize, the glory of God, the praise of God, to hear "well done, good and faithful servant," and also to bear in mind what's at stake, priceless, eternal human souls. And so how can we not be disciplined people? How can we not be organized? How can we not be faithful? How can we not be diligent? How can we, you know, not be, you know, fervent in spirit serving the Lord when we consider what is at stake? And so, you know, a boxer and an athlete have this in common in that they are tremendously disciplined people and they exercise self-control in their diet, in their exercise regime. You know, there are many people at the Olympics who will have been training for 4, 6, 8 years for that 2-3 week period. You know, going to bed at a certain time, spending hours and hours training, sometimes a number of times every day. You know, literally giving their life to that skill, to that sport, to the point where they don't even work a job. That's their job is preparing for the Olympics. Their job is preparing for that sport so that they can excel. And if people will do that for an earthly price, and if natural, unsaved people can do that for an earthly price, how much more must we who are called by God to serve His eternal purposes do so with absolute diligence? And how can we not give God, you know, 100% in our service for Him? And so yesterday we started looking at how we must be disciplined in our thoughts. And Isaiah 55 and 7, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and may have compassion on him, and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon." And so we see here that the Christian walk is a call to nothing less than absolute transformation. And, you know, there's no such thing as somebody encountering Jesus and being unchanged. And we see this in the Gospels, and, you know, we need to see that in our daily lives as well, is that if we are a follower of Christ, then our lives must be changed. But that change cannot come unless your mind becomes renewed with God's word. Because, you know, many of us have inherited stinking thinking, and we think like the world, talk like the world, live like the world. And this is why you can't change the way you live until you change the way you think. And this is why, you know, Bible reading is so important. And I think it's unfortunate that some people look on reading a book as, you know, a habit that's been relegated to previous generations, you know, that we don't do that anymore. And unfortunately, some people, their attention span has been really, really, really reduced as a consequence of social media. But the great thing about discipline is discipline can be developed. And so we can develop the discipline of reading the Bible. And I would encourage you to read the Bible out loud. There's something about reading it out loud, because then you're not just seeing it, you're also hearing it. And so, again, if you want to change the way you live, then you have to change the way you think. And Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so transformation comes through revelation. And I know I've said that a number of times, but it's one thing to know it in our heads. It's another to know it in our hearts. And it's another to have the discipline to follow through on that. Because the book of Philippians chapter 4, God here speaking through Paul the Apostle, you know, addresses the area of our mind, saying, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So here the Bible tells us what to keep our mind on. And this is part of the problem in our modern world, is that literally we got negative information, bad news coming at us from left, right and center. And, you know, previous generations who mightn't have heard about some disaster for months, or maybe never. This is the reality. They probably never heard a lot of these things that would have been happening around the world. Like, we're watching it in real time. And there's just so much negativity coming at us. And here, Paul, he's in a negative situation. He's in jail. He's in a prison, in a really tough place, a very dark place. And yet, he talks about, finally, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are a good report, if there's any virtue in anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So meditate on that which is good, holy, pure. And that means, you know, you need to be mindful of what media you're consuming, what voices you're listening to, what movies you're watching, what music you're listening to, because all of that's going in your spirit. And sometimes there's a lot of negativity coming into your spirit through those things. And so do your thoughts glorify God? Joshua 1 verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. And so the secret to prosperity and success is being disciplined in our thoughts, and being disciplined to focus our thoughts on the word of God. Because that's what God said to Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. So Joshua had to speak the word of God, and you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. And then you will make your way prosperous, then you will have good success. So it's amazing that when we get our mind on the right thing, how prosperity and success and favor and happiness and fulfillment follow. And I think it's disgraceful that, you know, somebody would label that as prosperity gospel. Because, you know, 3 John 2, beloved, I wish above all else that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. You know, God wants you happy. God wants you healthy. God wants you blessed. You're his child. I mean, I'm certainly not glorified if my child is in rags or is depressed or discouraged. And how much more for you who are his child? As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. And understand this, that as a child of God, God has taken ownership of you. You're under new management. You're under new ownership. And as a consequence, God wants you to do well because you're his. You belong to him. I mean, you know, it's a wonderful thing to see a mother and a father and the pride they take in their child. And even if they don't have a lot, they'll dress their child well and they'll have a nice buggy. And it's a beautiful thing to behold. And yet when we think about it, you know, Jesus said, when you pray, say, our Father, that we have a Father in heaven who loves us, who sees us as his child and who believes in us and celebrates us and wants the best for us. And so be disciplined in the daily meditation on God's word. As God said to Joshua, if you want the mind of Christ, you must study the word of Christ, because Christ and his word are one. The Bible says the word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:14. And so I'm going to finish this quote. Let the mind of the master be the master of your mind. Our mind is very important because, again, it will determine whether or not you fulfill your destiny. Because if your mind is negative and full of arguments against God's word and God's promises, and, you know, some people literally, God has dragged them kicking and screaming all the way to eternity. I don't want to be like that. I want to renew my mind with the word of God so that I'm on the same page as God, so that I'm cooperating with him and not hindering him, so that my mind isn't talking me out of the promises of God. And so let the mind of the master be the master of your mind, in Jesus' wonderful name. This is Pastor John from All Nations Church, thanking you for listening today. Hope you can join us next week right here on UCB Ireland. God bless you.